Well, good morning. I'm going to greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. It is good to be here again. Good to worship. Could open your Bibles to John chapter 10 for a message this morning. We're going to be looking at the first 16 verses of John chapter 10. But the theme verse that I want is from verse 14. While you're turning there, just give you a little background on why I chose this subject this morning. I'm committed to having a week of revival meetings here in a couple weeks, so my mind has been pondering what I should share during that week. And there's a verse in 2 Timothy that has been an inspiration to me. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." And I plan to use that as a theme for the week, and have been studying different aspects of who Jesus is. Who is the man Christ Jesus? And there's a lot to study about the man Christ Jesus. And I feel a little bit overwhelmed, but this morning I want to think about Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And as I read this verse here in 2 Timothy, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus," I thought of the words of Job. In Job chapter 9, verse 32, he says, "For he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him." He's having a dialogue with God, where he's talking about God. "And we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any days man betwixt us, that he might lay his hand upon us both." So Job, in his trial, was crying out for a mediator. And here in the new covenant, we have the mediator. We have the daysman that is between us, the man Christ Jesus. So thankful for that this morning. So if you're in the book of John, I want to read the first 16 verses of John chapter 10. We're going to spend a good bit of our time here thinking about Jesus the Good Shepherd. Why don't we start reading with verse 14, and then we'll come back and read all of the verses. John chapter 10, verse 14. "I am the Good Shepherd, and I know my sheep, and have known of mine." These are words of Jesus. Let's start reading in verse 1. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but to..." Sorry, let me start again with verse 10. "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep." Verse 14 again, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Let's go ahead and read verse 26 through 28 of the same chapter. "But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." So here Jesus tells very plainly to his listeners that day, "I am the good shepherd." So for title this morning, I'd like to think about Jesus, the good shepherd. And as I pondered, I told you I was working on a theme, and as I pondered what message I should share this morning, as I thought about the needs in my own heart, and also some of the situations that our congregation has faced over the past few weeks, I thought the good shepherd best met the needs in my own heart, and I hope can meet your needs as well. And as I studied this subject, I felt more keenly the need of the good shepherd in my life, and I hope to share that with you this morning. As I said, Jesus refers to himself as the good shepherd here in this passage. In our modern culture, we're pretty far removed from this occupation of caring for sheep. But to Jesus' audience that he was speaking to, this is a very common thing. It was very normal to have a number of men in the community who took care of the sheep. And the occupation of taking care of sheep or livestock is almost as old as mankind. In Genesis 4, verse 2, Abel, the second son of Adam, it says that he was a keeper of sheep. He tended flocks. He cared for animals. And even today, if you go into old cultures, you still see this alive today. There's men who care for the sheep and take them out for grazing and to find water. Here in John 10, we have Jesus doing what he often did and using a physical example or a story that was relevant to his listeners that got their attention and taught them a spiritual lesson. For us this morning, I'd like to separate the message into two parts to help us understand it maybe a little bit better. I'd like to first look at sheep, and then we'll look at the good shepherd. If you would think of an animal that you would want to be like, I don't think it would be sheep. Maybe we would look at it as a lesser animal or a less desirable animal. But in the Bible, it's a theme in the Bible that the people are sheep, and there's three different aspects that is mentioned as a shepherd. God is a shepherd, and that's referred to in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament. Also, the religious leaders of the day, they were referred to as shepherds. And then, obviously, in the New Testament, we have Jesus being the good shepherd. When you think of someone in the Bible who was a shepherd, I often think of David. And I don't know very much about sheep, but David obviously knew a lot about sheep. He spent much time with his sheep, and he often referred to himself and humanity in general as sheep. And David makes that comparison many times in his writing. We're very familiar with Psalm 23. Probably even you children can quote it. But Psalms 23, 1 through 3 say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And there's many things we could look at in the familiar passage of Psalm 23. But as I thought about David out there by himself, likely, I don't know what time of day it would have been, but he penned these words. And what thoughts were going through David's mind as he sat out there watching the sheep graze, possibly? Can kind of paint a mental picture there of what it might have looked like. And he had this connection with God. As he watched those sheep, he was inspired to write, as he himself was a shepherd and he looked at those sheep, he was inspired to write, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And I think maybe it would do me some good to have some more time like David had here. When you get to the end of a busy day and you've had 50 phone calls and about as many emails and the pressure is on and you just come to the end of the day, you just feel like there's just not much brain space left. And we can maybe be jealous of David and the time he had to just sit there and meditate and to think about God. But he, as he compared himself and he thought about God, he was inspired to write, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Psalm 95, 6 through 7a says, "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." Psalm 100, verse 3, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." David wrote these observations as he was caring for his sheep, and other times in his life, obviously when he was king, he wrote these things. But his experience was as a young boy taking care of his father's sheep, and he made these comparisons between himself and people as being sheep and God being a shepherd. What did David see in those sheep that helped him to draw that comparison? Number one, sheep are very needy. Sheep are needy animals. I don't know very much about them, but we know they're not very strong or independent. They need a lot of care, and they need a shepherd to pull the briars out of their wool or pull a thorn out of their foot or to bandage a wound or provide medicine if they are sick. They need treatment. Sheep can be very, very needy animals. Isn't that so true of us as well? We're such needy people. We are so dependent on our shepherd. We're just needy people. Sheep are very vulnerable. Sheep are herd type animals. They don't have very much defensibility. And running is about their only line of defense. When they are afraid, they just start to run. And their only hope of survival is staying together. There's a story of over in Turkey, there was a group of about 1,500, or herd of about 1,500 sheep that were grazing on the side of a mountain, and something frightened them, and one jumped off the cliff, and I think about 1,400 others just followed that one right off the cliff. They became disoriented, they weren't sure where to go, and they just jumped off the cliff with the first one that went. The sheep are very vulnerable animals. If a wild animal wants to get a sheep, it just breaks into the herd, into the flock, and separates it, and then it can attack one. So sheep are very vulnerable. And number three, sheep are wanderers. Sheep will stray from a group. Sheep will start to follow greener grass or sweeter grass, or they'll become distracted by something that's along the path and not stay with the group. And this is just what a predator is waiting for. He's waiting for that one to get separated from the group, waiting for that lamb to be away from the shepherd or away from the flock. Isaiah 53, verse 6, we quoted it this morning. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him," Jesus, "the iniquity of us all." So often we want to take our own way, don't we? We are like sheep. We wander. The song says, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it." I did just a little bit of reading about sheep, and one of the ways that a shepherd would teach a lamb to stay with the flock is that the shepherd would actually intentionally break the leg of a lamb that wanted to stray away from the group. And he would then carry that lamb on his shoulders until the leg was healed, and then that sheep would stay with the flock. It was a way of him teaching that sheep to not take its own way, teaching that lamb to stay with the shepherd. And we think back to Psalm 23. David wrote there, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Sometimes the shepherd recognizes our need of staying with him, walking closer to him. And he brings things into our lives that cause us to stick close to the shepherd. Those things are different for many of us, but brings those needs into our lives and that correction into our life that wants us to be, that makes us desire to be closer to the shepherd. I know I have those things in my life. Sheep need that shepherd to bring them together, as a group, and to move them along. There's a beautiful prophecy in Ezekiel. I'll just ask you to turn there. Ezekiel chapter 34, the prophecy of Jesus. And Ezekiel is writing to the prophets of Israel who had not done their job. They had led the people astray. And there's a promise of a Messiah that would bring the people back to God. Ezekiel chapter 34. I want to read verse 11 through 16. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is verse 12. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold and in a fat pasture, and they shall feed upon the mountains of Israel. Verse 15 yet, and 16. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away. And I will bind up that which is broken, and I will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong, and I will feed them with judgment. So he's talking about, God is proclaiming a prophecy of Christ here, but he's talking also of the judgment he would bring to the people, to the prophets who had led Israel astray and had used them for their own glory. Beautiful prophecy of what Jesus would do as the good shepherd. So turn back to John chapter 10. I want to spend the rest of our time here this morning looking at John 10 and Christ being the good shepherd. And I believe as the group listened to Jesus teach this day, I'm sure that those who were looking for the Messiah and understood who Jesus was had to think of the passage I just read in Ezekiel, of the prophecy of what God was going to do for his people. So coming back to John chapter 10, we're thinking about Jesus being the good shepherd. Number one, Jesus knows his sheep. It's very simple. A shepherd spends his life with his sheep. Being a shepherd was not a 9-to-5 job. Shepherding was a lowly job. Because of this, men of means would often be at home with their families while the shepherds were out with their flocks. Shepherds were the ones out there at night when the angels announced the birth of Christ. And this was often a job, being a shepherd was often a job given to the youngest of the family or maybe the lower class of people. And the result was spending hours and hours with sheep. And it gave the shepherd a knowledge of the sheep. It says here in verse 3 of John chapter 10, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. The shepherd knew the sheep by name, and the sheep knew the voice of their shepherd. And he would call to them, and they would go out from the fold and go out into the fields. Jesus knows his sheep. The good shepherd knows his sheep. He knows each one of us. He knows the areas that we struggle. He knows the areas that we're weak. And he ministers to those needs because he is the good shepherd. He knows what those needs are. He understands. And he meets those needs in our lives. And cares for us. Also from verse 3, Jesus leads his sheep. From our perspective as a sheep, we see such a short view, don't we? We can't see the big picture. We can't see what lies down the path. But the shepherd knows the path well. He's traveled here before. He knows where the steep places are. He knows where the poisonous plants are. knows the rough places, and he knows where the green grass is, he knows where the water is, and he wants what's best for us. And he leads us to what is best for us. And sometimes our vision is pretty nearsighted. All we see is the steep places, all we see is the rough places. We don't see what's ahead. But the shepherd leads us to what is best for us. Sometimes we come to a place in life where we feel like we know what the path is, and we feel like we're maybe at a comfortable place in life, and then there's something that comes into our life that we're not expecting. We're not expecting this fork in the road or whatever it may be, and it becomes a disappointment to us. The shepherd sees the entire path. We just see such a short time, and we do well to trust the shepherd. We'll get to that maybe a little bit later on this morning. But we trust the shepherd to lead us on the path and to be what's best for us. I love the picture that Isaiah paints in chapter 40, verse 10 and 11. It says, "Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." I love that picture of God being our shepherd and leading those gently who have young ones with them. Those who can't keep up or can't move quite as fast. Isaiah is describing how immeasurable God is in Isaiah chapter 40, yet he describes him as a shepherd, someone who is carrying the lambs and gently leading the mother sheep. Those that have young lambs, he's leading them gently. Thinking about following the good shepherd. And sometimes we think the way the shepherd is leading us is just completely wrong. Or maybe we just don't feel led at all. It's in those times we, again, need to trust the shepherd. He knows what's best for us. He wants what's best for us, and he's leading us. If we just take the next step and follow him. Number three, Jesus provides for his sheep. I take this from verse 9, John chapter 10. He says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." The shepherd always has our best interests in mind. He's always looking out for the best. He wants clean, refreshing water. He wants lush grass for grazing. Jesus has the heart of a shepherd. In Mark chapter 6, verse 34, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were a sheep, not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things." Jesus, the good shepherd, has a heart of a shepherd. He wants to provide for his sheep in whatever their need may be. And this story from here in Mark, where Jesus saw the people and had compassion on them, he taught them many things, but they also had a need. If you remember what else happened in that story, people were hungry. They hadn't eaten for a couple days, and Jesus performed a miracle of feeding the 5,000 there with bread and fish. Jesus provides for his sheep. He also provides safety and security. He says here in verse 9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in," inside this provision of salvation that Jesus extends to us, there's safety and security. It's when we step outside of that, of his protection, outside of his fold, that we are lost. So Jesus provides security and safety. Verse 28 says that, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." We can be safe and secure in the provision that Jesus makes for us as the good shepherd. Number four, the shepherd gives us abundant life. This is also from verse 10. "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." The good shepherd wants to give us abundant life. Satan wants us to believe that following the good shepherd is restrictive and no way to live. And he wants us to believe that taking our own way will be much more fulfilling, and if we would finally be free. But it's a lie from Satan. We know what happens when we take our own way, and we follow our own path away from the shepherd. The wolf is right there to kill and to destroy and to steal. But the good shepherd wants the opposite. It's his desire to gather and bring together and give life and give abundant life and eternal life. Number five, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. From the shepherd's perspective, why would he risk his life for a sheep? If the sheep decides to stray off and go and do his own thing, take his own way, why wouldn't the shepherd just let that sheep go? From our human's perspective, that's how we would see it. But that's not the heart of the good shepherd. One sheep is too dear to him to let even one go. And you can turn to Luke chapter 15 if you want to and read a short story here that Jesus gave, verse 1 to 7, Luke 15, 1 to 7. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep that was lost. Why wouldn't the shepherd just be okay with the 99 that are obedient, that stay with him, that follow him? But he cares so much about that one that is out there by itself, that may be hurt, that may be suffering, and that touches the heart of the shepherd, and he goes out to find that one. And to the 99 that are still together, that are still safe, it gives them confidence, knowing that if they were the one that was lost, that the shepherd would go out and find them. It gives them security, knowing that the shepherd cares so much about just one sheep, that he's willing to risk his life to go out there and to get that one sheep. I'd like to think yet of the responsibility of the sheep, because the sheep have a responsibility as well to the good shepherd. As I thought about this passage, I asked myself three questions, and I'd like for you to ask them to yourself. And that is, do I know the good shepherd? So David, he wrote, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Do I trust the shepherd like David did? Do I believe that the shepherd has my best interests in mind and that he wants what's best for me? And I know that he is there for me in whatever I face in life. The shepherd is there for me. And number two, do I know the voice of the shepherd? Here in John chapter 10, it says here that my sheep know my voice. Do we know the voice of the shepherd? There's lots of voices calling to us today. There's many things that can drown out the voice of the shepherd. But Jesus said, his sheep know his voice. Do you and I know the voice of the shepherd this morning? Is it something that we're familiar with? A relationship that we have with the shepherd, that we know that voice, and it speaks to us, and we've accepted his invitation to come to him and to leave our burdens with him and to have him meet our needs. Have we responded to that voice in our lives? And then number three, do I follow the good shepherd? John 10, verse 5, And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Am I following the good shepherd this morning? He wants to meet my needs. He wants to provide for me. Am I willing to follow him wherever he calls me to go? God, help us as we journey through life, as we follow the good shepherd, help us to be sheep that listen and obey and are open to the voice of the Good Shepherd as he speaks to us. Let's pray.
Our Father in heaven, this morning, thank you for being here in our midst this morning and for blessing us. Lord, thank you for each person gathered here. Lord, we are but sheep, we are needy, we are weak, and we need you as our shepherd. Lord, I help us understand that. Help us to be open to your voice, to your calling in our lives. Help us to follow you, even through difficult situations. When we face things in life, we're not sure what the path ahead holds. I pray that we would be sensitive to your spirit. Lord, I just pray that if there's someone here this morning who has not responded to your call in their life, your spirit speaking to them, I pray that they reach out to someone who can help them and can be sheep in your fold. Lord, I just pray that there's someone here this morning that's struggling, who's maybe committed their heart to you, but is going back, not fully following. Lord, I pray that you'd help speak to them, draw us to yourself, Lord, because it's not your will that any of us would perish, but that all of us would come to repentance and to follow you. Just go with us from here, Lord. Keep us in your care. We ask this in Jesus' name.